This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Philippians reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, since your word is spirit-filled, as we meditate on this word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may share in the mind of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today in our reading from Philippians, we hear these words from St. Paul. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Have the same attitude and outlook in life towards other people, especially. Now, this is not simply a command that we have from St. Paul, but it's a description of what God is doing among us, the sort of mindset and attitude that God brings to us as a community. Just a couple of verses later, St. Paul will make this very clear when he says, it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, the Lord Jesus is not simply an example to us, although he is that. He is also our Saviour, who by his power shares his way of viewing things with us as a community. God is giving us as a gift the mind which is Christ, so that we as God's people here can honour each other, look out not for our own interests only, but for the interests of others, so that we can be the sort of community where God's love grows and where authority is exercised in humility. So in today's sermon, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the fact that Christ is not simply our example, but our Saviour. In fact, that we as Christian people worship Christ as God. Then we will look at this divine mindset that Christ had in his life, that he has towards us now. And then we'll see how Christ shares this mindset with us so that we can receive it and grow together. Now today I'm going to ask you, first of all, if you'll humour me, to open your pew Bibles up in the New Testament section to page 152. I think it's actually really worth looking today at your Bibles, even if you don't read together with me, just so you can see there's something structurally interesting about today's reading. So again, that's page 152 in the New Testament section. You'll see there in chapter 2 it's headed Imitating Christ's Humility. And as you look down, you'll see today's reading, verses 5 to 11, and you will see that they're indented and set apart from the rest of the text. I'm not sure whether you've noticed this before. It's scholarly opinion, to the extent that it's a consensus, that St. Paul here is not sharing with us his own words, but quoting to us a Christian hymn, a hymn that would have been well known to the Christian community and the people to whom he was writing at Philippi. It's possible that this letter is one of the last letters that Paul wrote, possibly from imprisonment in Rome. But it's also just as possible that what St. Paul quotes is one of the earliest compositions of the Christian community. In other words, we have something, it seems, from very early in the life of the Christian church here. Now, you might think that early in the life of the Christian church, the first Christians were still coming to terms with who Jesus is, thinking about his claims to divinity, and maybe not speaking about it that clearly. But in fact, we get very clear teaching about Jesus' divinity in this text. Now, you can keep your Bibles open if you want, or close them and listen. Either way is okay. I'm going to start now by quoting, though, from Isaiah, a text that would have been well known to St. Paul and to many of the people to whom he wrote. Listen to this from Isaiah 45, verse 23. This is coming from the Greek translation that uses the verbs that are also used in Philippians. Here's what it says. Thus says the Lord, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. There's an Old Testament word, well known to the Jewish community. It's very clear there is only one God, not many gods, and it is to the one God only that every knee shall bow and that every tongue confess. Where there is this sort of worship, there we are talking about God, not simple human honour, but honour paid to God himself. Now, with that in mind, listen to the last verses of today's reading. Therefore, God also exalted Jesus and gave him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we have, in the earliest Christian community, divine honours paid to our Lord Jesus Christ. Recognition from the beginning of the church's life that when we are dealing with Jesus Christ, we are dealing not simply with a human being, but God in the flesh. This should give us great encouragement as Christian people to know that when we confess the Lordship of Christ, when we bow our knees to him, when we worship him, we are joining in with Christians from every time and place, from the earliest church. We are acknowledging with our brothers and sisters throughout the history of the church that Christ is not simply our example, but our Saviour, the one who has power from God for us, and who in his power shows humility, a humility that brings about our salvation and the growth in the life of love. So the first thing to note from today's text is strong teaching on the divinity of Christ. That when we deal with Christ, we are dealing with God in the flesh, and that we as Christian people can bow our knee to him rightly, can confess him rightly with approval from God our Father. When we see Jesus, we are seeing God. When we hear him, we are hearing words from God. And today on Palm Sunday, we think about Jesus exercising his authority in humility. This takes us back to the beginning of our reading today, where the hymn starts, which says this: though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. This text is saying that Jesus had equality with God already. It was already in his grasp, something that he had by his nature, you could say. But he didn't think this was something to be exploited for his own glory. A simple analogy could be a soccer coach playing with kids, a skilled soccer coach who knows what he's doing. He can play very well, shoot goals, defend, you name it. But doesn't exploit this when he's dealing with the kids in his team. Instead, he uses his knowledge, his power, his skill in service of the little ones to help them and to teach them. There is power, but it's not exploited for glory, but used in service. St. Paul is saying here, really, the early Christian community is singing this in praise, that our Lord Jesus did not consider his equality with God as something to be exploited, but used in the service of his people and of all people. In fact, this is what the text goes on to say. Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, they are words which we are very familiar with, especially as Lutheran Christians, because when it comes to Lent, we sing them, don't we? We sang them today as preparation for hearing the gospel, that our Lord Jesus Christ became obedient even to the point of death, yes, even to death on a cross. Jesus did not exploit his power, but in true authority used it in service, a service that went all the way to his death on the cross. We as human beings, although created in God's image, needed this sort of service. We need it in our lives. The forgiveness that we need, we can't earn ourselves. The pathway back to God is not one that we can construct by our own power. Hope in God is not something that comes from our own wishes. It needs to be given as a gift. Christ Jesus worked for us, served us in his authority and his power to build the path back to God, the bridge back to God, which was the cross. There we find the forgiveness of our sins. There we find hope with God. There we find a sure path to our Father in heaven. This is sheer gift. Our Lord Jesus not exploiting power for his own glory, but using power authoritatively in service to bring us back to God. Jesus could do this because he was not only a human being, but also true God, eternal Son of the Father. This is what we are confessing as Christian people even today. Now we are able not simply to hear that we should have the attitude of Christ and receive this as a command, but more than that, know that God freely shares this attitude with us in Christ Jesus. It's as we trust God, as we believe his promises, as we say our amen to his word, that God freely shares this mindset. Often in life we are worried about where we stand in relation to the human community, where we stand in relation to God. But God gives us assurance in Christ Jesus that we do belong, that we do have a place in God's family, that God does care for us and will provide us with all that we need to safely reach our heavenly home. This is sheer gift to us. And God is delighted when we simply take him at his word and trust him. His Father's heart is delighted when we say our amen to his promises in Christ Jesus. You are free to do this, to say your amen. As we find our status in Christ, we realise that life is not one big competition. We don't need to big note ourselves before others, to bolster up our own power, to exploit what we have for our own glory. Instead, like Christ, because he shares his status with us, his mindset with us, we are free to serve each other. Let us think today in closing what this might actually look like. Many of us here have vocations. Let's start here. Maybe we are husband or wife, mother or father. Maybe we are grandparent. Maybe we work at a job where we have people serving under us. Maybe we have other times in our life, even when it comes to a social group, where we have what could be considered power over others. Well, in these situations, as Christian people, we don't need to exploit these authorities or powers that we may have for our own glorification. We are free, instead, to serve as husband or as wife, not to look after our own interests, but the interests of our spouse. We're free to do this. With our children or grandchildren, not simply to lay down the law, but also to help, especially to help. It seems to me that one of the greatest gifts that parents can give their children, and one of the ways they most exercise their authority in humility, is letting their children know how much they are loved and assuring them of this. To give them words of guidance which clearly flow from this love, and to assure their children that the home is always open to them. This is the way that God calls us. This is real authority, not power exploited for glory, but authority used in love, in service. It can happen also in the workplace. Maybe you have people in a workplace who are underneath you, and it's your duty, according to your role, to give them orders, to tell them what to do. That's fitting. But as Christian people, we can do this not in a way that, you know, is glorification for ourselves, look how much power I have in this situation, but understanding that we're given authority to build up the human community. There may be people underneath us in our work who need our help and our assistance. If we have authority, God has given us this authority to be used in service. Not to shy away from giving straight words, straight teaching, maybe even reprimands and things like that. That also comes with authority. It's also how our Lord Jesus Christ spoke and acted, but doing so in service and in love. You know, it happens also even in the church. Members here, when you come here, you know how things work. You know the life of the household of this particular congregation. When guests come, you can use this knowledge in service. I'm delighted as a pastor when I see this actually happening, and I see it happening in our congregation, where visitors are welcomed, shown how things worked, handed hymn books, worship books, where people sit beside guests and help them along in a service which can be perhaps threatening as visitors come in. Again, we have this authority as members even of the household of God to be used in service. This is the sort of mindset that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us as Christian people. Now let's wrap this up. St. Paul does say, and I'll go back to these first words, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But it's very clear from the text that this is not simply a command, but an encouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ, not simply an example, but our God, whom we bend our knee to, whom we confess. Our Lord Jesus exercised his authority in humility and service also towards us. This means that we, as Christian people, can use the authority that we have in the service of others. We will make mistakes in doing this. We will fall back into old habits and old ways of doing things. We are not perfect. There was one who was perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know that as we get up again, we can get up and we fall because we have our Lord Jesus leading us. As we dust ourselves off and receive encouragement from others in the Christian community to persevere and not to give up, we can know that we are growing together as God's people and the fruit of God's love has been growing among us. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.